I'll be presenting our recent work called Kaimon. This was a joint research between two research groups. Myself, Dehi, Kiwan are working with Professor Kang in Graduate School of Information Security at KAIST. And Hyungun and Jihoon are students at WCS, Seoul National University, working with Professor Pak. The SNU team focused on the design and implementation of the hardware, and the KAIST team concentrated on monitoring mechanism design and software development. This work couldn't have been possible without the unique contribution from each side. So since our work presents a platform for rootkit detection, I'd like to start off with some background on kernel-level rootkits. Kernel-level rootkits operate with the same privilege level as the operating system kernel, enabling them to modify essentially any parts of a system. With such capabilities, they manipulate the OS kernel itself to forge kernel-maintained system status to hide the traces of the attacker. To address these rootkit problems, many kernel integrity monitoring platforms have been introduced. Since rootkits have complete control over the infected system's kernel, the kernel integrity monitors need to rely on some type of a root of trust outside the OS so that it can be provided with a safe execution environment. Hypervisors and hardware are the two most popular environments for making such a safe execution environment. Hypervisors have been a very popular platform for building kernel integrity monitors. The isolation and protection features that are made for virtualization can also be used to build kernel integrity monitors. Also, many of the hypervisors are open source, which makes the development much more easier. However, there has been a number of software vulnerabilities reported on hypervisors. This means that the kernel integrity monitor built with hypervisors can possibly be exposed to the attacks from the infected system. Hardware-based monitors are relatively safer since it provides a physical isolation. Also, a specialized piece of hardware usually provides performance benefits. However, the hardware-assisted integrity monitoring is still at its infancy, and we believe that there are a lot of room for new ideas and improvements. So, there has been two prominent approaches in hardware-based monitor. These are Copilot and Vigilair. They are more closely related to our work among many hardware-assisted or hardware-based kernel integrity monitors. Copilot presented a snapshot-based kernel static region monitoring. Their PCI device periodically collects snapshots of static kernel regions, then compare them to a known good hash value. Vigilair was first to present the use of bus traffic snooping for kernel integrity monitoring. It showed that its so-called snoop-based monitoring overcomes sneaky attacks in between snapshots and performance overhead of snapshot-based monitoring. We see that to our knowledge, all existing hardware-based external monitors are limited to monitoring static regions of kernel. I'll be explaining attacks on kernel mutable objects and what's missing in the existing works to detect such attacks. So before I explain the challenges in monitoring kernel mutable objects, we'll take a look at static and dynamic regions of kernel. Assuming a 32-bit architecture, the top 1 gigabyte of the virtual memory is the kernel memory space in Linux systems. And this kernel memory space can be classified into static and dynamic regions. Unlike this kernel static region, which is loaded during boot time and it seldom changes during runtime, the objects in the dynamic regions are subject to frequent changes. Static kernel region manipulation techniques, such as kernel code patching and jump table hooking, are more traditional attacks deployed by rootkits. Unfortunately, more advanced rootkits attack kernel mutable objects in the dynamic regions of kernel. in the coming slides, attacks that cannot be monitored with simple write detection presented in existing work will be presented. So this is an example of control flow manipulation on a kernel mutable object. A function pointer included in a kernel object is hooked to a malicious detour function. So function pointers are commonly used in Linux kernel, and they may change during runtime. The connection points between the kernel and device drivers can be an example of the use of function pointers. So to defeat this type of attack, one needs to check the value of the pointer. So one needs to check if it's pointing to one of the known safe landing sites every time there's a change. In other words, a value verification is required. Even the most recent hardware-based work only supports simple write detection and therefore is inept for monitoring kernel mutable objects. Another case of an attack on kernel mutable region object is a data manipulation attack. This picture illustrates a LKM hiding attack, which is common in many out-in-the-wild rootkits. So this attack removes the rootkit LKM representation in the linked list while its actual code is still present in kernel memory. In this example, value verification is not effective. The semantics that can differentiate normal state and abnormal state or a semantic invariant is necessary. For this particular example, when a LKM entry in the linked list is removed, the LKM's in-memory component should be also deallocated, and their virtual address entries in the page table should be unmapped. So this is an example of semantic verification, where related memory locations need to be verified for semantic consistency. The implications of the example is that detecting data manipulation often requires a human program invariant checking routine. So therefore, we argue that programmability is essential to kernel integrity monitors. To address these challenges, we propose Kaimon with the following contributions. First, we explore the possibilities of hardware-based monitoring of kernel mutable objects. Second, we developed two monitoring mechanisms for mutable kernel objects called hardware-assisted memory whitelisting and event trigger callback. Each mechanism addresses control flow manipulation and data manipulation, respectively. Also, we try to provide programmability to our platform with the Kaimon API. The design of Kaimon will be explained starting the next slide. So, this is the overview of the Kaimon platform. VTMU, which stands for Value Table Management Unit, is a novel event generation hardware in Kaimon's event-triggered monitoring scheme. The operation of Kaimon is initiated by VTMU's event generation based on its bus traffic snooping capabilities. The key feature of VTMU is its benign bus traffic filtering capabilities. So you have this deluge of bus traffic being fed into the monitor, and it's just not efficient or maybe even impossible to handle all the traffic. So what leaves VTMU is a subset of events that are worth some attention. We call this mechanism hardware-assisted whitelisting, or HAW. And the generated events are called HAW events. So upon receiving an HAW event, the HAW event handler in the Kaimon software platform begin to verify the event. When the decision logic requires semantic verification involving other related data structures or memory locations, it acquires memory snapshots using the DMA module. So this is basically how Kaimon's event trigger mechanism works. And among many requirements for hardware-based kernel integrity monitor, providing a safe execution environment for the monitor is probably the most important one. And So Kaiman is a complete microprocessor-based system which operates independently from the host operating system. It uses VTMU and DMA module to observe the host memory updates as well as its contents. And it should be noted that they're both transparent to the host operating system. They're also unidirectional connections, which means that the host cannot affect Kaiman using these connections. So now I'll be discussing the role of VTMU in more details. As I mentioned, there is a large volume of bus traffic generated from the host system. This is especially true for the dynamic regions of kernel because many objects in this region are constantly changing. With VTMU, we can determine the monitored bus traffic into three groups: benign traffics, updates that are obviously malicious, and updates that are worth semantic verification. So this is the internal structure of VTMU. We first filter out all the read traffic, then we apply the address filter, which filters everything but the traffic going to the monitored region. And then we apply the value filter. What happens here is that within the subset of traffic that are going to the monitored region, we again discard ones that are whitelisted. And lastly, we extract the address and value pair from the traffic that survived all the filters. And the generated event is passed to the software platform. So to explain again about the reason why we included a DMA module, the software platform acquires additional memory snapshots for additional verifications. So now that I have explained the core hardware components, I'd like to move on to the software platform. The software platform implements monitoring mechanisms based on the capabilities of the hardware platform. The Kaiman API supports development of new semantic rules. It's composed of four layers. Positioned at the top is the Kaiman verifier, which manages concurrent execution of multiple monitoring rules. And a monitoring rule is a basic block that defines the locations that should be monitored and what rules should be applied and so forth. It's implemented as high-level objects on top of the Kaiman API. And below the monitoring rules is the data structure acquisition engine. It allows one to easily deal with data structures fetched via the DMA module. More specifically, it provides features such as automated linked list iteration and data type conversions from the raw memory dump. I would like to discuss more on the monitoring rule because it's a key concept in our platform. First, the critical region defines the regions to be monitored. These values are to be loaded in the address filter of VTMU. Next, the whitelist defines the values that are allowed to be written to the critical region. And they're also stored in VTMU in its value filter. A function called onHowEvent, it's an event handling routine that's executed when there's an event is received from VTMU. Also note that additional functions can be programmed within the monitoring rule. So when the value of memory modification alone is not enough for verification, one can simply whitelist a memory region by setting critical region and whitelist. And if there is something that requires semantic verification, one can program additional routines for semantic verification. So for evaluation, we implemented two types of monitoring rule templates using the Kaiman API. We implemented the VFS hooking monitoring rule as an example of whitelisting-based verification. This monitoring rule monitors all updates to the file system function pointers in the /proc VFS object. And for every update, Kaiman verifies if the values point to the legitimate file system functions, such as ext file system functions or NTFS functions included in Linux kernel. The second one is called a callback-based semantic verification. The LKM list monitoring rule is implemented as a callback-based semantic verification. When a new LKM module is inserted, VTMU notifies the software platform so that it can schedule a few random interval checks so that it checks if the LKM entry is still in the linked list, and if not, it verifies the page table entries for LKM's in-memory codes. The attacks were actually copied from out-in-the-wild rootkits, and they were successfully detected by our monitoring rules, and this shows the efficacy of the platform. Now, we also evaluated the efficiency of the platform. We implemented a snapshot-based monitor for the experiment, and we compared it to our platform using the LKM list monitoring rule. The figure shows the CPU states over time, and the labels on the blocks are the names of the functions actually executed. As you can see, Kaiman stays idle until an event occurs, whereas the snapshot-based monitor wastes a lot of CPU time waiting for the event. And this figure shows the amount of CPU cycles consumed in the same experiment. The y-axis represents the sum of CPU cycles consumed. As you can see, the snapshot-based monitor is constantly consuming CPU cycles waiting for the event, whereas Kaiman stays idle until the 18th second where the LKM hiding attack event occurs. So the implications of these results are that Kaiman's event trigger mechanism significantly reduces the amount of computation for the Kaiman processor. This means that Kaiman processor can operate at lower clock speeds, which means lower power consumption. And also, the access to host memory is minimized to lower the performance hit on the monitor system. We also tested snapshot-based monitor and Kaiman for detection rates. The snapshot-based monitor operating at a frequency of 1 kilohertz detected only 4% of the attacks. And when, even with maximum frequency, it managed to detect only 70%. On the other hand, Kaiman detected all of the attacks. This is because the attacks that occurred in between snapshots were not detected. To conclude, we have presented Kaiman, an external hardware-based monitoring platform that operates on an event trigger mechanism based on the novel hardware we implemented called VTMU. And the proposed design was implemented with Leon 3 processor. It's a Spark architecture. We developed our prototype on an FPGA-based development board. We implemented Kaiman API for the platform's programmability. We evaluated the platform with VFS hooking attack and LKM hiding monitoring rule. Also, experiments showed Kaiman's design efficacy and efficiency in terms of processor usage. Thank you very much.
Cynthia Stern, UNC. Can you talk a little bit about any challenges maybe you encountered bridging the semantic gap because you're using an external monitor?
So that's exactly what the data acquisition engine does. Mm-hmm. So it basically analyzes raw memory dumps collected from DMA module, and then it kind of reconstructs data structures out of the row hex values.
Okay.
I'm Tim Fraser from DARPA. Thank you for your talk. I haven't read your paper yet, so this may be a dumb question. But in the Copilot work that you cited, one of the problems with it was that when you're looking at the bus, you're dealing in bus addresses, which are physical addresses, but you wanted to reason about kernel data structures that were pointing at each other using virtual addresses. Mm-hmm. And so you had to use the page tables of the host machine to figure out what physical addresses you wanted to look at. And in order to find the page tables, ideally you would magically be able to read this register in the CPU. I think it's CR3 or CR0, I can't remember. And you couldn't from the PCI bus, right? And so we kind of just knew what value it would have. But there was always this theoretical possibility that somebody would add a second set of page tables that were the real page tables and pointing to an infected OS and then have some sort of fake healthy looking thing for us to look at because we wouldn't know. Sorry, long question. So do you avoid that problem because of your bus snooping and you're just sort of looking at addresses on the bus?
You're right about the page table part. We actually access the host page tables to perform virtual to physical address translation. So you're right about the page table part. So if the attacker manipulates the page tables, then I think our current system will be deceived by that attack, and we're seeing that as one of the future works.
Yeah, I never had a good answer for that either. Actually, that's one of the advantages of doing the hypervisor thing, right? Because in the hypervisor, you can see the registers, but as you noted, that has its own problems. Maybe someday somebody will solve this problem in hardware. Thanks.
Thank you.
You know, one of your case studies uses this checking this invariant. Do you envision possibly being able to provide sort of a library of likely invariants that people should be using when they're using your system, or should be looking for, checking for when they're using your system?
We currently develop only two invariants, and developing more would be definitely one of our future works.
Okay. If there are no more questions, I think we'll break. Thank you very much.